You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Good morning. I'm going to speak to you for the next few minutes, as I said, in the conclusion of our series today, in a topic that I think is important for everybody in the house. So this is not just for dads, although it will specifically apply to dads, but it'll apply to everybody in the house. In this series, this is how we do it. We're talking about how, as a church, together we build culture in this house. When you come into any church, there's a certain kind of culture that you can feel immediately. You feel immediately if the church is a welcoming church, if they're an excited church, if they're an asleep church, right? You can tell some things very, very quickly when you come into the house of a church. Just like in your house, there's certain house rules that you have in your house. I grew up with house rules playing Monopoly. We had specific house rules. I learned to play Monopoly with my dad and his three brothers. And they were cutthroat, and they had some very specific house rules that I learned very quickly, that if you threw the dice and they rolled off the board, you had to pay $50 in the middle. If you landed on somebody's property, or somebody landed on your property, rather, if you didn't call rent before the next person rolled, boom, you didn't get paid. That was it. I mean, it was serious business in that Monopoly game. Those were the house rules. Every place has house rules. Every church has house rules. And the house rules are something that we're enforcing together because we want to have a certain kind of house. And in the house here at Koinonia Church, we want to be a house that's filled with praise. We want to be a house that's filled with expectation. We want to be the kind of church that the culture here expects, that God is a God who moves mountains, who opens doors, who makes impossible things possible, who heals broken bodies, who restores marriages that are broken beyond repair, who makes things happen that we never thought could happen. That's the kind of culture that we want to build in this house. And so in the series, we've been talking about some things that are important for us to remember that we want to carry together as a church. We talked about how we're going to be a house of honor. We're going to make sure that we honor every person in the house, and we are respecting and seeing God's value on every person. We talked about how we're going to be a house that expects that the Holy Spirit inside of us is going to speak to us and lead us, and we need to press more into Him. Last week we talked about being a house full of forgiveness, that we're not going to carry offense, that we're not going to carry bitterness, where we're going to release it. And today I'm going to talk to you about a topic that I've called Pass It On, and having a culture and an understanding that as a church, we're going to be the kind of church where we're seeing others as the purpose of our life, to invest in others and to give to others and to be of value to other people. We could talk about a lot of things in this series. It's certainly not exhaustive. Next year, if we were to do this again, we might talk about four different topics, but these are just ones that I think are important for us right now. So let me just talk to you about passing it on. We could also call this message empty your cup, or be a person who's about others, an about others type of a person. And I want to encourage you to take notes this morning. I'm going to try very quickly to move through the notes today. I think there are some things that are of value here. There's some blank notes in the seat backs in front of you, or you can follow along on the screens or on your phone. If you don't have the Church Center app, what's up? This is how we do it, people. Get with the program. The Church Center app is available on Android and iPhone, and if you download that, it'll help you get the notes. It'll help you to register for events. It'll tell you what's going on. If you have kids and are checking them in, that's the way that you check your kids in now. So if you go to that Church Center app, the bottom right-hand corner, there's three dots that say More, and click that. Click Outlines, and you'll see the notes for today. There's blanks and all that good stuff. And as I said, we'll have this on the screen as well. We're going to begin with 2 Timothy chapter 2 in just a moment. You can look there. Today we're going to talk about how we're going to be pass it on people, what pass it on people look like. We're going to talk about how actually we can pass it on. I'm going to give you some key ideas there. And I'm going to talk to you about the fact that each one of us actually has something of value that we can pass on to others. That we can share with others, which is something I think that we all struggle with at times, because we tend to see that we don't have anything. We tend to see our brokenness. We tend to see our inadequacy. But as I start on this topic, let me just begin by focusing on dads just for a moment and what dads tend to pass on to their kids. You know, sometimes in culture, dads get a bad rap, and I think dads get beat up sometimes on TV and on media. But one of the things that dads really pass on to their kids that we are really appreciative of is dad humor, is dad jokes. And so I just wanted to share some of these with you because I feel like they're just very important nuggets that I want to make sure that if you didn't receive these from your dad, that you received them from me today. So how about this one? Why is Peter Pan always flying? Because he never lands. He's from Neverland. Neverland. What do you call, these are good. You can groan if you want. That's all right. I can understand. What do you call 26 letters that went for a swim? Alphabetical. What was the color green? Was the color green notoriously single? It was always so jaded. PT told me one. What do you call a cheese thief? A nacho cheese stealer. I don't know, something. I messed that one up. That's a dad joke for sure. Why did the coach go to the bank? To get his quarterback. Come on, guys. That's obvious. It's obvious. So, dads, you know, you pass on just some things of great value. When you share your humor with us, we just want to say, dads, thanks. Thanks for that kind of beautiful humor. The truth is that dads do matter. They really do matter. Pastor Tim, just a few moments ago, was talking about how dads make a mark on us, their presence, their absence. The reality is that we are marked by our fathers, whether they were in the house or not. And that's not just a nice idea. That's just reality, is that dads, in fact, do matter in our lives. A couple of years ago in USA Today, they did some research, and they concluded this, that kids with involved fathers benefit in some very specific ways. And kids that have dads that are in the house, that are involved with them, that they tend to not go to prison. On the whole, kids that have dads in the house, they tend to not be criminals, is the truth of the matter. And if you look at our jails and prisons, you will find that the vast majority of the guys that are there didn't have dads in the house. They didn't have dads that were involved in their lives. The truth is that when dads are in the house, their kids are more likely to delay sexual activity. Because, I think, because the kids don't need to search for love outside of their home. They don't need to search for someone that's going to accept them and to love them because their dad is loving them. How about this? Kids whose dads are in the home do better in school. I'm not saying they always get A's and B's. I just say on the whole, they tend to keep going. They tend to keep getting back into school and doing their homework and doing the work, and as a whole, they do better. And kids with dads in the home stay in their jobs longer. In other words, they have learned and they are learning not to give up too quickly, not to walk away from something when it gets difficult. There's some things that dads really do and give to their kids and to their families. And I just want to say, dads, I want to encourage you today to keep going wherever you're at. As a father, it is so challenging because I think you tend to see your inadequacies and your failures. And I don't know about you dads, but you know, I tend to see all the ways that I messed up first, and focus there rather than focus on maybe some of the positive things that I've done as a dad. And we just have to remember that as we're faithful and as we continue to seek to love our kids and do what we can do, that God's going to take that, He's going to use it, and your kids need you. They need your involvement, they need your love, they need your support, they need your encouragement. So keep going. Don't give up on yourself. God can take what you have done, even if you've messed up. He'll take what you have done, especially when you come to Him, and He'll make something beautiful out of it. So I just want to say, dads, keep going. I have four kids, and they range from, because I can't remember their specific age all the time, they range from 15 to 20. And this is the year where they're, did you notice they keep changing age? It's very confusing. Because when you have four of them, it's very tough I can barely remember my own birthday, let alone their birthdays. And I got a couple of them down here this morning. Do you know your older brother called me this morning, and he wished me a happy Father's Day, and you guys haven't even looked at me this morning. I'm just kidding. it was such an honor to have my oldest, who lives outside the house, call me this morning. Nobody else was up in the house, and I was studying for today, and he just called me and wished me a happy Dad's Day. And you know, I was thinking about how lousy a dad I was, and he just loved me a little bit. And what an honor it is to be a dad, and what an honor it is to see that God can use the little that we have and the brokenness that we have to be a blessing to our kids. And so keep going, dads. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It'll be on the screen. It says this. This is Paul. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. Timothy is one of his spiritual kids, and Timothy is a pastor in Ephesus, and Paul is writing this letter towards the end of his own life, and so when you look at 2 Timothy, you actually see a man who's staring probably eternity in the face. He knows he's coming to the end of his life, and he's writing some important things to his spiritual son. And so when we look at 2 Timothy, we see a guy who's saying some key and pivotal things, and so we pay attention to it in a special way. He says this: "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." In other words, he says, listen, it's really important for you to be the kind of person, Timothy, who passes on what you have received. That there's some things that you have deposited in you. God has given you some things. I've given you some things. You have learned some things through life. Now your job is to pass them on. Pass on the truths that you have received to others. And the truth is, here at Koinonia Church, we want to build a culture that is about others. That our life, if it's going to be truly meaningful, the true meaning of our life will be found in our willingness to give what we have received, our willingness to invest in other people, our willingness to understand that our life is not about getting all we can, it's really about giving all we can. That our job, your and my job as followers of Christ, is in fact to pass it on. Another word picture that Paul uses later in that same book is he uses the picture of being poured out like a drink offering. He says in chapter 4, verse 6, he says, "I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." Now, we're not familiar necessarily in our culture with a drink offering, but basically it was in the ancient world, it just is exactly what it sounded like, a cup that was full of a liquid that you were about to drink. Maybe before you took a drink, you would pour out a little bit as an offering or a sacrifice to the God that you were worshiping. And for the Hebrew people, they would do this as well. They actually had drink offerings that they would come, they would pour out the entire cup that was full of that liquid that could in fact be drank because it was something that was wonderful, and they would pour it out to the Lord. And the picture that Paul uses of his life is he says, I want to be the kind of person that is poured out, that everything of value in my life is actually poured out and given to the master. Because as you pour that out on the ground, that seems like it's a waste. But what you're doing is you're saying, Lord, this is for you. This is, I'm actually offering what I have to you. And he says, listen, our life, my life, he says to Timothy, my life, I want it to make a difference. And I want to see everything that I have actually given out to others, given out for the service of the Lord. And so today's message, we talk about giving out or passing it on. We could talk about emptying our cup, that we're actually seeking to pour whatever value that we have into the cup of other people. And sometimes we think, well, I don't have enough in my cup, or I haven't learned enough. I don't have anything to offer. I could never fill up somebody else's cup. And that's the wrong perspective. Whether you're 13 years old or whether you're 90 years old today, all of us have something in our cup that God has given to us, something that he has deposited to us. We have life experience. We have things we've gone through, good things, bad things. We've had successes. We've had failures. All of us have something. And the value that we have, we must give it to others. We're not trying to necessarily fill their cup. We're simply trying to empty our cup and give them the little that we have, understanding that when we do that, we're being faithful to what we're called to do as followers of Jesus. And there's something in this world, there's a spirit in this world, I think it's even just in our flesh as humans, that we tend to be the kind of people that want to hold on. We don't like to give things away. We like to control. We like to accumulate. We like to build things up, and we get nervous when we start to talk about or think about giving away what we have, because many times we start to think about how we're going to lose something. It's going to mean someone else is going to get something that's more than us or greater than us. And so what we'll tend to do is we have this understanding that if we hold on to our stuff, we want to hold on to it, because if we don't, then someone is going to take it away from us. We sometimes have this belief that if we need to hold on to our position, because if we don't hold on to our status, to our position, to the thing that we have, then someone else is going to get ahead of us. Or maybe we need to hold on to our knowledge, the thing that makes it valuable. Maybe it's in our work and we know a thing that nobody else knows, and we feel like that gives us job security. And we're nervous because if we give it away, we think that maybe someone's going to take advantage of us and somehow they're going to get ahead of us. And I just want to tell you, that is the thinking of the world. That is not the thinking of the kingdom of God. And Jesus actually offers to us an upside-down kingdom, a way of thinking, a way of seeing the world, where we understand that the more that we give away is the more that we'll receive. That's actually what Jesus himself said. He says, give and it shall be given. He said, listen, you need to understand, freely you have received, freely give. You need to make sure that you understand that if you give, more will be given to you. That is the economy of the kingdom of God. And so we don't have to worry that somehow pouring into others is going to mean we're going to have less. No, we serve a just God who is always watching, always seeing what happens. And he's looking at his sons and his daughters, and he's seeing, oh, they're giving. And we think, if I give, I'm not going to have. Because we think in the world's economy, I have one, I give it, I have zero. But we have to remember, God's economy is different. God's economy is, if you give, you will receive more. Not that you will have zero, but actually you will have probably more than one, because the just judge, the ruler of the universe, is watching. He's looking for opportunities to pour back into you. And the reality is if we live according to his economy, we're going to be pass it on people. We're going to be the kind of people who understand that our very purpose in life is to give it to others. So let me just give you very quickly characteristics of pass it on people. If you're going to be this kind of person, this is the kind of characteristics that you're going to carry. The first characteristic is this, that pass it on people are fearlessly and selflessly empower others. They fearlessly and selflessly empower others, right? That means the next generation that's coming behind us. That means our kids and our grandkids and those that are younger than us, that we actually, our whole goal is to give as much as we can to them, because they are the ones that are coming after us. We want them to be greater than us. Isn't that the desire of every dad and every mom, that we would actually see that those who are coming behind us would actually exceed and excel beyond us? And isn't it interesting that in our world today, in our culture today, they're saying things to us like, well, this generation is going to be the first generation that doesn't have more than their parents. And I said, well, you don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't understand the economy of the way that God works, that he is actually in the business of making sure that my kids and your kids actually excel and move beyond. And so we need to give fearlessly. We need to not be afraid that others are going to go beyond us. We actually want them to go beyond us. We need to be selfless in our giving. That is, we're not thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about others. We're thinking about giving even if we don't get anything in return. Many times we think, well, if I invest time or money or energy into this person, what am I going to get in return? Well, if you're selfless, it doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's not about whether they're going to work with you or for you. It's not about whether somehow it's going to come back to you. It's about the fact that you realize that you and I are servants of the Most High God who are served to, who are called to serve just like Jesus served, just like Jesus gave. And of course, we want to empower the next generation. We want to empower others. What does that mean? Well, it means all of us have some kind of power. All of us have some kind of authority. Now, you might think, well, I don't have very much. It doesn't matter whether you're a dad or a mom or you're a friend. All of us have some measure of power, some measure of influence. The question is, how can I use what I have, what little I have, to be a blessing to someone else? Pass it on people. Secondly, realize the value of a life. is always measured by how much it is given away. It's so important for us to remember this. And I think we know this whenever we go to a funeral service. Everybody does it. When you go to a funeral service, you don't talk about how much the guy had. You don't talk about how much money he had, how many cars he had, how many toys he had. You don't talk about what you talk about is what he gave to others, what kind of person he was, if he invested in our life. I was at a funeral service just this last week, and the family was talking about how giving and loving their mom was, their grandma was, and how much she left a mark on their life because of what she gave in terms of her time, her energy, her encouragement, her love to them. They didn't mention anything about anything she owned. We all know that, right? We all go to funeral services and we celebrate people not for what they accumulated. We celebrate them because of their generosity, because of what they gave. But the truth is even though we know that in our hearts, as soon as we walk out of those services, we go right back to the tendency that we all have, which is to envy accumulation, which is to think, man, I just want more because that just feels good to me. It feels good to my flesh. And so before you know it, we just, even though when we visit the funeral service, we go right back to the old way of doing things where we think life is about accumulating. But the truth is, when you're on your deathbed, no one is thinking, man, I really wish I would have had one more car. I really wish I would have gotten, you know, one more dollar. If I just had one, you know, everybody on their deathbed is thinking, I wish I would have spent more time with my family. I wish I would have built the network of my friendships and invested more into the people around me. I wish people understood how much I loved and appreciated them. All of us know that, so we have to fight against the tendency that we have is to forget that in the midst of the busyness of life, where we think, oh, I got to gain more, I got to work harder, I got to make sure I got this, I got that. And before you know it, we've made the mistake that so many people make of accumulating when we should be generous and we should be giving. Remember that the value of your life, the value of my life, is not counted up in how much stuff that we're going to control or build up or maintain. It's actually how much we give away. And then thirdly, understand, and this is important, understand that everybody can do it for somebody. When we're talking about passing it on, I'm talking about everybody in the room here this morning. I'm talking about everybody that's listening online today, that you, no matter how old you are, no matter what your education is, no matter what your background is, you have something to give, you have something to pass on, you have something of value. And the minute we begin seeing ourselves as people who can, in fact, give, we make our lives valuable. But what we tend to do is we devalue what we have. We tend to say things like, I'm not ready, I don't have enough, I don't have the right position, I haven't studied long enough, I don't have the right skill set. Whatever it is, we tend to be the kind of people that back up from this idea of giving because we see how inadequate we are. And so we say things like, I'm not a leader, I'm not the boss, I don't have anything to say or to offer, I'm not very smart, they're so much smarter than me, I don't have the time. Whether we're talking about us comparing ourselves to our kids, to our coworkers, to our friends, to our family, we tend to always say, well, I'm not ready. Well, I just want to tell you, you'll never be ready. I'm still not ready to be a parent, and I have a 20-year-old and four other kids, and I'm wondering what in the world has gone on. This is not about you being ready. This is about you realizing you are, in fact, right now in a position where you can give what you have, where you can love and encourage and invest in other people, where you can be the kind of person that says, I, in fact, am going to pass it on. I just want to thank God publicly for the people in my life that took time to pass it on to me. I think about my dad, first of all, who I dearly love and respect and so admire for the time that he spent with me personally, not only teaching me practical life things, but teaching me how to love God. But that list goes on and on. I think about Javier Michel, who's a man who, when he was in his 20s, was one of my dad's Bible school students. And he saw me and valued me as an individual and took time just to pour into me, just to not to encourage me, to say, Andrew, you can't. He saw things in me that I didn't see in and of myself. And I could list off so many other people through the years, in many in this church, even here this morning, who have taken time as I was a teenager. And I did stupid things when I was a teenager. I mean, I there's people in this church that know who I was when I was a teenager. Every Sunday, I mean, it keeps me a little bit honest. There's a guy and there's a family in this church. They might be here this morning. I think they were in the first service. When I was 16, I was playing around with my truck and some friends, and I crashed into their fence. And every Sunday, I get to preach the word of God to these people. You know, I mean, it's a humbling thing. But people took time to love me and to encourage me. I remember being 16 and driving up to the church, and someone said to me, a man who's in this community, love him very deeply, he said to me, Andrew, I see the Spirit of God in you. I'm thinking, I don't feel like I got the Spirit of God in me. You know, I mean, at 16, you're thinking about other things other than that. And yet he deposited into me something that he saw, that he knew that I had, that he valued. He took the time to pass it on. I so appreciate the people that have taken me out to coffee and invested in my life and said encouraging things to me, sometimes challenging things to me, that they have seen me as an individual worthy of giving their time and attention to. And I am the man I am today, in large part because of people that have passed it on. And I just want to encourage you can be that kind of a person. There are people in your life that need you to simply take time with them, to love them, to encourage them, to give them. And you will always think, they don't need that. I don't know enough. They're smarter than me. They already know that. I just don't listen to that voice. Don't listen to that critic that will always keep you from moving forward. And it's always worthwhile to give what you have to others. Let me just give you a couple of principles for passing it on effectively. Number one is this: you start with humility and trust. Humility and trust. Humility is that idea that that no matter how much I know, whether I know a lot or I know a little, the truth is that does not make me superior or inferior. What I'm going to do is give what I have. It's an honesty that says, listen, that even if I know more than this individual, even if I have more experience than this individual, that doesn't make me any better, that this person actually is someone that I can also learn from. And so when I'm giving something to them, I'm coming in a spirit of humility, not in a spirit of like, I'm going to tell you because I know everything and you don't know anything. When you have humility, what you do is you actually take a step back and you give to others the opportunity, perhaps, that you didn't have, the opportunity to actually do things that maybe they can't do on their own. If you're a parent or if you're an employer or if you're a boss, this one particularly is for you, but what we need to do very oftentimes is we need to take a step back and make fewer decisions and allow the ones that are coming behind to make decisions. Now, we don't like that because we feel like we know the right decisions to make. I mean, the truth is that my decisions are the best decisions. That's always how I feel. But the reality is that our children begin to grow, or those who are coming up behind us, maybe at a workplace or in a leadership experience, that they need the opportunity to actually make decisions. And you don't have to make every decision, even if you can. And so one of the humble things that we can do is just step back and say, you make the decision and I'll support you, which really makes us nervous. Well, I don't know about him, honey, but he seems like a bum to me, but I'll support you. When we do that, what we're doing is we're giving the next generation an opportunity to grow. Number two, serve them. We just decide we're going to serve others. We're going to see them as valuable. Remember, this thing is not about us. It's about other people. It's what Philippians chapter 2 says, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I find that I think about my interests primarily. But what we're talking about when we're passing on people is we're beginning to think, what would be a blessing to them? How can I encourage them? How can I move them forward? How can I give them a step up? How can I help them move to the next level? How could I just somehow be of value to them, give them just a little bit so they're a little bit more prepared, a little bit more ready to go into that meeting, a little bit more prepared for that job interview, a little bit more prepared for whatever they're doing today. And so when we ask the question, what can I do to help? It demonstrates to others that what we're trying to do is actually be a blessing to them. But honestly, we don't like to oftentimes ask that question, what can I do to help? Because what if they actually say, they give us the assignment? And then that means it's going to take our time and it's going to take our energy. And many times we won't ask the question because it means that we're going to have to actually serve. Well, it's time for us just to serve. It's time for us to understand that that is actually our highest calling, is to be of value to others. And so many times we're too busy to serve. Number three, we need to add value. Simply add value. That is, just give what you have. Be of benefit to others. This doesn't mean that you have to know more. This doesn't mean that you're better than. This doesn't mean that somehow that you're superior. It's just trying to give the next person, the other person, the advantage. Maybe an advantage that you didn't have. Maybe you know something because you've experienced it. Maybe you have failed in an area and that has given you a little bit of information that could be valuable to them. Then we just are going to look for opportunities to empty our cup. We're going to look for opportunities to invest. You, in fact, do have something to give. Something as simple as you read an article in a newspaper and you cut it out. I was thinking of you. I think this might be encouraging to you. Giving a phone call, writing a note, taking somebody out for coffee just to hear about what's going on in their life so that you can encourage them to go to the next level. And number four, I love this one. It's a good reminder for me. Don't lecture or preach, because we tend to do that. Instead of saying to them when they tell you that idea that is so crazy, instead of saying that's nuts, say, well, that's interesting. Why don't you tell me more about that? Because immediately we know all the 10 and 100 reasons why that is the stupidest idea since, sliced bread. But they actually need an opportunity, perhaps, to hear you say, tell me a little bit more about that. What do you have to offer in this equation? Well, you have encouragement, number one. You're the kind of person that can actually encourage others. You can give them words of life. You can tell them, I see you. I see gifts in you. I see talents in you. You have an ability in this area. So many times people walk through life without any kind of encouragement. We struggle with self-doubt. Don't you struggle with self-doubt? We struggle with self-doubt all the time. And when someone says to us, wow, you're really good at that, or did you, I so admire this or that about you, or I really value, it makes us feel so encouraged. That's the kind of people that we need, is people who are willing to pass on encouragement to others. Hey, you can do it. Don't quit. Don't count yourself out. Why don't you apply for that position? Why don't you go forward in that? Why don't you go back to school? You can do that. You have the ability. That kind of encouragement will go far in people's lives. They will remember what you said to them years after. All of the good advice, good encouragement is an amazing gift that we have to give. Number two, you can give prayer. Praying for your kids, praying for your spouse, praying for your coworkers, praying for your family, praying for those that are around you, praying in secret and praying in public, offering to pray for them, telling them you're praying for them. Listen, we serve a God who hears our prayers. He responds to our prayers. He moves mountains because his children simply ask him. He actually opens doors, right, for people. Why? Because we are involved in this thing, this project with God of bringing the kingdom of God to earth. And when we pray, we are doing more than just saying nice words. We are actually advocating with the Father on behalf of the people around us. That's an incredible gift. Don't ever devalue the power of your words said to God about someone else, speaking blessing and life and encouragement, speaking open doors and speaking new avenues, speaking the very presence of God into their home. What a blessing it is to pass that on. Number three, you have experience. Your failures and your successes both can be of value to others. Number four, you have perspective. You have a different perspective than them. Isn't it amazing how two people can go through the same thing and have completely different views of what happened? My sister and I, we grew up in the same household, had the same parents, went through many of the same things. Sometimes we'll talk about a certain event, and we'll begin to talk about it, and I'm thinking, were you at the same place that I was? Because our perspectives are so different. And when she begins to talk about it and I begin to see things from a different perspective, it begins to round out that experience in ways that I didn't understand before. And it's so valuable. I mean, my sister is so weird because she's so different than me. But she is so, man, when I begin to understand a little bit more, I realize, wow, maybe I'm the weird one. Maybe there's something larger here that is valuable that I have to offer and she has to offer to me simply because we're different people and we have different perspectives. Your perspective is important, offered in humility, offered just simply as a desire really to help someone else can be so, so encouraging. Number five, what do you have to offer? You have an invitation to relationship. An invitation to a second chance, an invitation to forgiveness, an invitation to restoration. There's so many things that you have to offer. Don't discount. Don't discount what you have to offer to your family, to your kids. Dads, moms, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, grandmas and grandpas, all of you have great things to offer. This is the kind of church that we want to build, a church where we understand that our job is to love, encourage, support, and inspire those that are around us. And our life is best lived when it's given away for others. Our life is best lived when we're not trying to get ourselves ahead. We're actually trying to get somebody else ahead. We'll discover what an incredible community that we can build when we remember our life isn't all about us. Our life isn't all about us. It's about others. And the truth is that your life, if you want it to go beyond you, you can't live it for you. The only way for your life to go beyond you is for you to live it for others. And you have the potential, and I know some of you are even today in many ways, a beyond you person who understands that the true value of our lives is lived out when we are seeking to be a blessing to those that are around us. Let me just end with this question, or these two questions. First of all, what's holding you back from passing it on? What's holding you back from being able to say to your kids or your coworkers or your friends or your family, just to take time just to give what you have given? Are you full of self-doubt? Are you devaluing what you have? Do you think that you don't have enough? Just remember, it's not about what you have. It's about who is in you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has put his stamp on you. He's made you the kind of person that has something to give. When we see ourselves as people who are willing to help, we'll be a blessing to others. Secondly, who will you invest in? There might be someone even right now that is in your life that would benefit from being invited out to coffee, being just a conversation of encouragement. And sometimes it could be in conversation, hey, I'm concerned about this. I want to see if maybe I could encourage you in this arena. It's time for us to start passing it on. Would you stand to your feet? Let me pray for you. Boy, when a church begins to catch a hold of this, we discover it's a place that's exciting to be. We discover that there's more people, right, that want to hang around because that it's a community of people that have understood the secret of giving, understood the secret of investing, understood the secret of giving to others. Would you just bow your head? Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have made us the kind of people who are designed to pass it on. We're designed, Lord, to give. It's because of you inside of us. It's because of the gift of your Spirit, Lord, that we even have anything to give. We recognize, Lord, that you have first given to us. And so anything of value that we have comes from you. Lord, make us the kind of people that understand how to love better, how to give more, how to invest in others. God, I pray for courage right now in every heart. I pray that there would be a new kind of perspective, Lord, that we would begin to see opportunities and look for opportunities where we can be an encouragement and be filled with life and give that which we have to other people. Help us, Lord, see the next generation as a generation that needs to be blessed and encouraged. Forgive us, God, for so many times running the next generation down. We talk about how bad they are, how bad things are. Lord, give us eyes of faith and life and hope for the next generation so that when we pass it on, we pass on life-giving words, encouraging and faith-filled words, God, that could inspire them to move forward. We pray that you would make us this kind of people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Go and do it, guys. Go and do it.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.